You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. You can find my work on NBC Sports Chicago, as well as Bears Wire on the USA Today Sports Media Group. And I'm here to bring you your daily Chicago Bears news and analysis. Today, we're looking at some potential salary cap casualties for the Chicago Bears this offseason, as Ryan Pace potentially looks to increase the salary cap space he's going to have to work with. There's a few veterans on the roster that could be on the way out, and a couple other surprise candidates that could be in line for either some kind of a pay cut or maybe even a trade candidate to try and cut down on some of the Bears' spending this offseason. And then we'll also give a look at the franchise tag to see how realistic it might be for the Chicago Bears to use that on one of their pending free agents, particularly on defense. So to start, I want to just make sure everyone's on the same page from a Bears salary cap standpoint. If you listen to our Adrian Amos versus Bryce Callahan debate podcast, we set the stage a little bit, and I just kind of want to refresh everyone on where the Bears stand here from a financial standpoint. Depending on where you look for projections, you can see a couple of different numbers that look to projecting what this upcoming salary cap will be, which the NFL has not set yet. And then based on where the Bears' contracts stand today, that would then determine their estimated salary cap space. So right now, the website SpotTrack has the Bears at around $5.9 million in salary cap space with a $192 million salary cap projection. Salary cap does tend to come in a little bit higher than people project, so the Bears could have a little bit more than the $6 million projected, but that's kind of about the number I've been operating under. You know, it's best to kind of project low and be pleasantly surprised when you have more financial wiggle room in the offseason than underestimate or overestimate your space, rather, and end up not having enough cash to pay the players that you want to pay. And $6 million in salary cap space is really not going to go far when you look at just the long list of free agents the Chicago Bears have. I mean, forget just the big names, but you know, down the board, when you talk about depth, Kevin White, Aaron Lynch, Bryce Callahan, Josh Bellamy, Pat O'Donnell, Eric Kush, Benny Cunningham, Daniel Brown, Brian Witzman, Marcus Williams, Patrick Scales, Adrian Amos, Michael Burton, DeAndre Houston Carson, Roy Robertson Harris, Ben Broniker, Rashad Coward, Isaiah Irving, the list goes on. That's more than a dozen players, and if you're splitting up $6 million, that is certainly not enough money to go around to everyone there. So the Bears are going to need to clear up some more salary cap space first and foremost, in addition to having to make some really tough decisions and letting some of these players go, guys that who played significant roles or provided valuable depth last season that the team just can't afford to bring back. But clearing up salary cap space is what we're all about on the podcast today. And the Bears have a few guys I think they can move on from, and I would expect them to move on from at least one to clear up some salary cap space to start, and then maybe, depending on how the financial decisions go as the offseason moves on, maybe another one or two could come off the books. Now, the one name that everyone talks about as a guy the Bears should, I use in parentheses or in quotation marks, should cut this offseason is, of course, the kicker, Cody Parkey. I feel like we've had this conversation a few times on the podcast, but as of right now, with Cody Parkey's contract the way it is, if he is on the Chicago Bears roster, he's going to cost them just a smidge over $4 million. If the Bears release Cody Parkey, they will then have to pay him all the remaining guaranteed money over the next 2 years of his contract, which will raise the amount he costs against the salary cap and bring him up to $5.18 million in cap space. So releasing Cody Parkey will cost the Bears an extra $1.2-ish million against the salary cap space that cuts into your $6 million. So cutting Cody Parkey at this point in the offseason seems unlikely, and not financially sound unless they designate him a June 1st release, which can potentially offset some of that dead salary cap into 2019. But that plays in a whole another layer here as the Bears try and figure out their cap space. So Parkey's not going to save them any money. If anything, he will cost them some more money. So that one you can cross that one off for trying to free up cap space. But the one name I think everyone is just expecting at this point to be released is tight end Deion Sims. He's in the last year of the three-year, $18 million contract that Ryan Pace signed him to in 2017. And most of us, I think, were expecting him to get cut last year. The Bears ultimately chose to keep him around and bring him back on another, $6 million last season, despite having some flexibility to release him then. But I can't imagine now with Trey Burton in the building, with Adam Shaheen going to the next step in his career and some of the other young guys on this team, I can't imagine that Deion Sims would come back. I mean, he played 195 snaps last season before getting hurt, and at $6 million a year, that is just not an investment in a player, especially a guy who's probably your number three tight end at this point. If the Bears release him, they would save $6 million and would just owe him $300,000 that's left over from the guarantee. So I would expect Deion Sims to be released and to have that $6 million freed up in cap space to bring the Chicago Bears up to $12 million, at least based on early projections. And real quick, one other name that I haven't heard thrown around a lot in this discussion so far as potential salary cap cuts, is quarterback Chase Daniel, the veteran backup quarterback. He was fine to average to below average in his starts when Mitchell Trubisky got hurt. He's set to cost $6 million this year as part of his two-year $10 million contract that he signed, and the Bears would save $3 million releasing him this offseason. He's 32. He was mostly brought in to help Mitchell Trubisky learn the offensive system, but now with a full year under his belt, Trubisky might not need that same level of guidance from Chase Daniel. I think there's a lot of value to having Chase Daniel still in the building. I think he can, as you saw last year, help you win a football game if you absolutely need him to. But when you start trying to find the best way to use your money, you could save $3 million by releasing him, sign another veteran quarterback to a minimum deal to kind of be your backup and maybe even use a late-round pick on someone, and you're still saving an extra $2 to $3 million there in cap space from your backup quarterback position that might not be providing you as much value this year as you got last year. I wouldn't expect Daniel to be released, but it is a name that I think we should keep an eye on as a guy who could be expendable based on the situation and his contract. I don't think too many of you would miss Chase Daniel or Deion Sims if they were to be released this offseason. But there's a few other bigger name Bears that have some salary cap situations that are at least being called into question that make you wonder, could something be happening with them this offseason, or should something happen with them this offseason? That's next on Locked On Bears. Today, we're trying to find some more salary cap space for the Chicago Bears as free agency comes around the corner. Really not a lot of room to move around right now. Even after you cut Deion Sims and free up that extra $6 million, a lot of that money is going to have to go toward re-signing your rookie class. And you really start to get down there when you talk about re-signing Bryce Callahan and or Adrian Amos. So if Ryan Pace is looking for other ways to create some salary cap space, well, one option would be moving on from linebacker Sam Acho, the outside linebacker position. It's a kind of a little move. He's set to earn about $2.4 million this year. If you cut him, you'd save a little more than $2 million off of that. Maybe he has a little bit of trade value, but I'd really be surprised there. So, it's a little move like Acho could move the needle a little bit. But there's a couple of other bigger fish that could be fried this offseason, and fried might be a strong word, but a couple of names that the Bears might want to consider from at least making some sort of salary adjustment. And I use that language carefully when we start with right guard Kyle Long. Obviously, Kyle is a fan favorite team leader and a Pro Bowl caliber player, at least earlier in his career. The Bears signed him to that long-term contract extension a few years ago. I believe it was 4 years, $40 million, which is similar to what Bobby Massey actually got this year. But he still has 3 years left on that contract, but he's set to make $8.5 million this season in terms of what he's going to count against the salary cap. And for a guy who's played 8 games this year, 10 games the year before that, and 8 games the year before that, and you're looking at 26 games in 3 years, at times I think it can be hard to justify that $8.5 million salary cap hit. It's not as though he's not worth a significant chunk of change, but when you start talking about getting the most out of your dollars, especially for a player who's now on the wrong side of 30, again, issues staying healthy and hasn't really been that Pro Bowl player since probably 2015, if we're being totally honest, maybe some sort of contract restructuring could be in order for a guy like Kyle Long, especially because he has 3 years left on the deal and because a very little amount of that money is guaranteed. It makes him a prime restructuring candidate. If the Bears were to release him, they would save $5.5 million this year. I wouldn't expect a full-on release of Kyle Long at this point, given his value to the team. But what they can do is take the base salary remaining on his contract and convert it into a sort of a signing bonus guarantee after the fact. And so they could take this $8.5 million number, make half of that guaranteed, so he's, or say make $4 million of that guaranteed, and what you do with it is then prorate it over the remaining years of the contract. So you would cut that $4 million out of this year and put it over the remaining 3 years of the deal here, so you'd only end up taking about $3 million off of this year. But it's the kind of way where you're not paying Kyle Long less money, you're just shifting it a little bit. You're actually guaranteeing it to him and paying it to him up front. So that's what makes him agree to have his salary cap hit potentially lowered for this year, raising it in future years, and probably as a result, leading to him being released down the stretch. But it would avoid that outcome this year while also freeing up some potential cap space for the Bears to work in free agency. Because next year, Kyle Long's salary cap hit is $9.6 million, and the year after that, it is $8.9 million, and the guaranteed money really does start to run out here quick. So converting some base salary to guaranteed money gives Long that money up front and lowers the cap hit for the Bears. It could be a win-win there, but I certainly am not expecting Long to play out all the way through the end of his contract, which would make him a free agent in 2022. Now, the other big-name leader on this roster, on the other side of the ball with a salary situation, I'll call it, is linebacker Danny Trevathan. Still only 28 years old, he too has some injury history in his past, per se, and 16-game seasons has been a little bit of a challenge for him, but he hit that this year for the first time in Chicago, played 9 games in 2016, 12 games in 2017. Danny Trevathan is set to cost $7.65 million against the salary cap this year. If the Bears released him, they would free up about $6.5 million. And similarly, he's been seen as potentially more of a trade candidate rather than a release candidate. I mean, with he and Kyle Long, it doesn't seem like an actual release would be all that likely. But Danny Trevathan, coming off of a pretty strong season, you know, 102 tackles, another 2 interceptions, and 6 pass breakups, playing well in the middle of this Bears defense. He's obviously a leader, and he's not a player that you want to get rid of by any means. I'm not advocating that the Bears should get rid of Trevathan or Kyle Long. It's just purely from a salary cap standpoint. But with Trevathan, this is the last year of his contract, 2019. He will be a free agent the following offseason, and the Bears kind of have the young linebackers waiting in the wings here. Roquan Smith, obviously already a starting caliber player there. Nick Kwiatkowski has been a starting caliber player in years past, and they drafted Joel Eabuniyi last year in the 4th round. So you've got 3 young linebackers on their rookie contracts at the inside linebacker position, and then Trevathan, who's an experienced and effective veteran, but making a bit more money than everyone else. And so the Bears could easily get out of this contract now and save quite a bit of money, or Trevathan could potentially, like I said, some sort of trade value. It's not going to be anything astronomical. You're not going to get a great return on investment for him, but the idea is you would get something for him instead of just releasing him and not getting anything for him. You also really wouldn't get a compensatory pick for releasing him that way either. So, I mean, those two guys, Long and Trevathan, they're really the only veterans on this roster that stand out as guys that aren't either owed a lot of guaranteed money or were not just recently signed, which usually kind of go hand in hand. They've been here a little while. They've got contracts that are easy to get out of. And when you start having to make the difficult decisions on who you're going to keep on your roster and who you need to re-sign, it's like, would you rather have Danny Trevathan or Adrian Amos? I mean, it's not going to be necessarily that black and white, but it's those types of decisions. It's like, well, if you release Trevathan, you could re-sign Amos and re-sign Aaron Lynch, or, you know, and re-sign Eric Kush. You know what I mean? You start playing which couple of players from a financial standpoint, plus a salary cap that you have, is worth maybe releasing one of these veterans, taking a hit at a different position to bolster a bigger position of need, you know, like safety, like slot cornerback, etc. It really is a difficult moving around that Ryan Pace has to figure out with this roster here, with trying to find some salary cap to keep this team a contender. And that's part of the punishment that you get for winning, is when you start to have more talented players, they start to cost more money, and it's hard to maintain that from year to year. So it is tough for Ryan Pace, but he has some options here with some difficult decisions to potentially clear some salary cap space for guys like Adrian Amos and Bryce Callahan. And with those two guys, there is another option for Ryan Pace that we haven't really discussed on this podcast. I've seen a few people ask about it kind of around the world of Chicago Bears on social media, so I thought it'd be a good time to turn our attention to the franchise tag. Keep it locked right here on Locked On Bears. Every year, the franchise tag seems to spark a discussion for every team as they look at their free agents. It's a nice way for teams to be able to maintain some control over the free agency process and not allowing players to escape that they just really don't want to escape. And I didn't plan this. I didn't time this out, but it just kind of worked out that today is actually the first date teams can put the franchise tag on players this year. I hadn't planned to talk about the franchise tag on February 19th, but it just so happens that February 19th is franchise tag day, and the deadline for placing the franchise tag is March 5th. So there's a lot of time starting today for teams to be able to hand out the franchise tag, and perhaps as you're listening to this podcast, there will already be teams handing out the tags to players. And the discussion with the Bears and the franchise tag is not a deep one. It really does come down to Adrian Amos and Bryce Callahan for the most part. And in a lot of cases, it seems low in possibility, right? It seems unlikely that the Bears will franchise tag either Adrian Amos or Bryce Callahan. As it stands right now, with the $6 million that the Bears have in salary cap space, they actually can't afford to franchise tag either one of those players right now. But if they release Deion Sims, that makes it a little bit more realistic for one of them. And if they, you know, release Sam Acho, or, you know, restructure Kyle Long, or trade Danny Trevathan or whatever, then you could be starting to talk about either one really being on the table. But I think it would be more likely that Adrian Amos gets franchise tagged than Bryce Callahan for a couple of reasons. I mean, one, Bryce Callahan has some of the injury question marks surrounding him, and I think he'd be more likely to be the one that's going to sign a one-year prove-it deal anyway. And the franchise tag for cornerbacks and for all players, the franchise tag is based on an average of the top five salaries at the position, I believe. There's also something based on where the salary cap is actually set. So Bryce Callahan's franchise tag would be based on the rate of pay that outside cornerbacks make, which is a lot more than slot cornerbacks make, and is the fourth highest of any position in the NFL. The franchise tag for cornerbacks next year is right now projected to be just a hair under $16 million. And I can tell you Bryce Callahan is not worth $16 million, and the Bears would not clear up $16 million in cap space just to use the franchise tag on Bryce Callahan. So I think we can pretty safely eliminate that possibility for Chicago really having to jump through all the hoops just to be able to franchise tag him at a what I would call a ridiculous price for even one of the league's best slot cornerbacks. But the Adrian Amos franchise tag is a little bit more realistic. One, I think the Bears might be more inclined to invest a long-term deal in him, and the franchise tag would give them more time to negotiate that without him negotiating with other teams. But two, the franchise tag cost for a safety is much, much more affordable, especially when you talk about, you know, positional value. The safety franchise tag is projected at $12 million next year, a full $4 million less than cornerback. And I mean, that is the fourth lowest of any position. It's right down there with running back and tight end. I mean, it's really the bottom of the franchise tag cost. And $12 million, while still quite high and still more than Adrian Amos is going to earn in a contract on the open market, it is much more affordable. And obviously the tag is done with the idea that you're planning on signing this player to a long-term contract that will then replace the value of the franchise tag when it comes to your salary cap. So I do think it would be more likely with Adrian Amos. Again, the Bears would still have to release Deion Sims to even free up the space to make the tag, and then they'd have to free up a lot of other space to re-sign anyone else or to even sign their rookie class. So there's still quite a few hoops to jump through to be able to franchise tag Adrian Amos, which is why I think it is entirely unlikely. But I do think if you have to pick between those two, Amos would be the most likely of the bunch. And one other name I just want to throw out there as a possibility, the slightest possibility of a Bears free agent who could be franchise tagged, well, yeah, I'm going to say it. It's the punter, Pat O'Donnell, purely because, again, the special teams franchise tag is a bit more affordable. It's always the cheapest franchise tag. It's projected to be about $5.1 million next year, and that's certainly more money than Pat O'Donnell is going to earn on the free agent market. The Bears signed him to a one-year, $1.5 million deal next year, and they might not even be interested in signing him to a long-term deal at this point, but I want to float it out there as a possibility if they want to lock in Pat O'Donnell as their punter of the future. The punting free agent market is not particularly deep in terms of proven commodities at the punter position. The Bears may just be more comfortable bringing back the devil that they do know with Pat O'Donnell rather than having to take their chance on someone that they don't. He did have a better 2018 season than we had seen from his 2017 season. He still wasn't a top five, maybe not even top 10 borderline, you know, kind of in the 15 to 10 range punter, in my opinion. You know, it was still gets pretty good distance. Hang time was better than last year. Location was better than last year, but not elite really in his punting. And it's the punter. I'm not going to get too nuanced here about punting quality, but if they want to make sure Pat O'Donnell can come back, they can afford to use that special teams franchise tag, get him locked in, negotiate the long-term deal at a lower rate, and ultimately still find a use for that franchise tag during the offseason, even if it's not going to be on the more difficult Adrian Amos or Bryce Callahan. But like I said, I think a Chicago Bears franchise tag is unlikely at any position. It would take a lot of hassle to get the salary cap space to do so, and I don't think they're necessarily that committed to these young defensive backs or punter to really go through all the trouble to franchise tag them to bring them back. I think they'd be more inclined to just get the deal done without the franchise tag rather than having to, again, jump through the hoops, release players, and free up all this cap space just to take it all away again in a franchise tag that's only going to temporarily hold that cap space and prevent you from making other moves. Like I've been saying for the last couple weeks, it is a difficult offseason of free agency ahead for Ryan Pace. I do not envy his position here, but the Bears have a cap guru, and they have a general manager who, I mean, this is what he's paid for. This is his job to keep the Bears a contender. And no matter what Ryan Pace does this offseason, we'll be breaking it all down for you right here on Locked On Bears. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever it is you listen to your shows. Locked On Bears is there. We're also on Twitter at Locked On Bears. You can search Locked On Bears on Facebook to find our page or join the Locked On Bears Facebook group as well. And you can ask us questions for the show, hear your questions answered on air. All you have to do is shoot us a text or leave us a voicemail at the Locked On Bears voicemail and text line. The phone number is 312-620-8590. You can also ask us our questions on Twitter, on Facebook, in the group, etc. You name it. And you send us your questions, we'll put together a little mailbag podcast to keep all of your Bears needs fulfilled all off season long. I think you asking a question on Locked On Bears is a great way to help you bear down.